welcome to the Hope Vineyard Podcast. For more information, go to www.hopevineyardchurch.us.
Good morning. I grew up in church, so I was very familiar with all the stories of Jesus when I was growing up. Are there any of you out there who grew up in church? So you know all the stories of Jesus. Those of you who didn't grow up in church will be learning stories of Jesus throughout as we continue to preach. But Jesus was pretty amazing. He walked on water. He fed the 5,000. He healed people and did miracles and delivered people from demons. If you would have asked me at the time when I was a kid, you know, why could Jesus do all these things, I would have just answered, well, because Jesus was God. And that was very true. Jesus was God. And my aunt, and he could do those things because he had a relationship with God. But my theology has changed, which is probably good, since I was a kid until now. And it's really kind of exciting because what I've learned since I was a child is Jesus could do all these things because of the Holy Spirit. My air as a child isn't too far off from what several people have mistakenly thought. You know, like when we look in stories of Greek mythology and other stories where, you know, of gods, we see gods doing, like, shooting thunder and lightning at people, and that we see gods doing these different things. But those are stories. That's mythology. Our God is real. He was a real person. Jesus was a real person who walked on earth. Jesus lived on earth as fully God and fully human. The actual theological term for this is called the incarnation. That means the embodiment of God in flesh as Jesus Christ. But Jesus, though from the beginning was God and embodied the full powers of God, laid down his God powers when he came to earth. In Philippians 2:5-8, it says, "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross." This does not mean that Jesus ceased to be God, but that he limited his powers as God in order to live as a man on earth. One author, Dan Stewart, puts it this way. When Jesus became a human being, he divested himself of certain rights as God the Son. This can be seen in three ways. First, he restricted himself to a human body with all its limitations. He gave up his position when he became a human being. Second, he veiled or hid his glory from the people. And finally, he exercised his relative attributes only by the will of God the Father, never on his own initiative. So if this is true, then how could Jesus do these amazing things we heard about during his ministry? It's because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. 2 weeks ago, Jim likes to be called that. No, I'm just teasing. Jim introduced our message series, Come Holy Spirit. During this series, we will be learning who the Holy Spirit is and why he's important, how he leads and guides us, and what he does in and through us. Last week, Jim Egli, our guest speaker, showed how the Holy Spirit is like the power flowing through a power cord. And as we connect to God the Father, the Holy Spirit flows from him to us and empowers us in our life and ministry. This week, we're going to learn more specifically how Jesus, though he is God, functioned as a man fully dependent on the Holy Spirit to lead him and empower him in his life. Today, I'll share a little bit more about how the Holy Spirit functioned in Jesus' life and how we can be filled with and led by the same Holy Spirit to continue the ministry that Jesus started over 2,000 years ago. Let's pray. God, we welcome your presence here this morning. Come and fill this place as we spend time focusing on the work of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' life. And show us what it means for us as you want to move in our lives. Come now, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Even though Jesus is fully God and fully man, he laid down his God powers when he lived on earth and connected to his Father through prayer and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God, like Jesus is God and the Father is God. They've always existed together as the Trinity, which means three in one. We see the Holy Spirit fill Jesus right after his baptism in the book of Luke. Luke 3:21-22 says, "When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. As he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased.'" After Jesus was baptized, he was led out into the desert by the Holy Spirit and was tested by the devil. In Luke 4:1-2, it says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. There, though tempted, he did not sin. The Holy Spirit was able to lead and guide him and empower him during this time. And then he returned to from the desert and started his public ministry. It's in verse 14, it says, "Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him." Later, it says that Jesus opened up, he took a scroll from the book of Isaiah, and he opened it up, and he read, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. You see, Jesus went everywhere sharing this same good news. He was establishing God's rule and will as he defeated the works of the enemy, and he did good. He preached and showed kindness to people. He healed and performed miracles and delivered people from demons. He even raised his friend Lazarus from the dead. He calmed the storm. He fed thousands of people, and he walked on water. He did all of these things because of his connection to God, the Father, through the Holy Spirit. John records how all these things were possible. In John 5:19, it says, "Jesus gave them this answer, 'Very truly, I tell you, the Son of God can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does also.'" And so as Jesus was relating to his Father and experienced, like, the Holy Spirit allowed for this communication, and then he understood what the Father's will was, and he could do those things. It was Jesus' connection to God the Father through the Holy Spirit that both revealed the Father's will and empowered Jesus to do the ministry of the Father's will. Jesus lived a life as a person filled with and led by the Holy Spirit, and therefore he is our example of what it's like to be dependent on the Holy Spirit. Now, this was one of the most exciting things I ever heard when we first started coming to the Vineyard. You know, I thought Jesus was an example. I was taught, like, he was an example of how to live a sinless life. You're supposed to just be really good like Jesus. But I really never got that we could join him in the ministry of the kingdom. And that was, like, so exciting. Jesus was not just a good example of how to live, but that his life was an example of how our lives could be, of how we were called to live our own lives. John 14:12 says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." Jesus told his disciples that he would send them the same Spirit that he had. He expected them to be filled with and led by the Holy Spirit. He expected them to see amazing things. John 16:7 says, "Very truly I tell you, it is good for you that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate, who is the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." When Jesus took our sins on the cross, he made it possible for us to be born again into a life filled with the Spirit like he was, like him. Because the Holy Spirit was poured out on the Church of Pentecost, which we'll talk about another week, believers can now receive the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised when, as soon as they choose to believe that in Jesus, as soon as they choose to believe that he has forgiven their sins and they choose to follow him with their lives. Yet, often it's when we ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit that that Spirit stirred up in us. We still we always have the Holy Spirit as believers, but when we ask for a filling, it's kind of like a stirring up of God saying, "Yeah, I'm here," and we are filled and overflow with the Holy Spirit. And we can ask for this multiple times. So when we ask for the Holy Spirit, how can we expect our lives to be different than they are right now? Well, let's take a closer look at Jesus' life by the Spirit. First of all, we see that Jesus has extreme intimacy with God. There are many things that stand out about Jesus' life, but the one that leads to all the rest is his connection with the Father. Jesus spent time with the Father by praying and relating to him through the Holy Spirit. Last week, Jim Egley talked about that power cord, and you cannot get power through the Holy Spirit without connecting to the God the Father. Intimacy with the Father is what produces the fruit of the Spirit in Jesus' life. As the Spirit is stirred in us, our longing and pursuit of intimacy with God will increase. In my life, this is really something that I find so important, and yet sometimes I take it for granted. 20 years ago, when Tanner was a baby, I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit that God has to remind me of frequently. I was at a conference, and I had made friends with some of the other women that were also had babies there. And when our babies were hungry or if they got noisy, we went into the nursing mom's lounge, and so we just kind of had, like, we chatted and had some solidarity, and it was really kind of neat. And I got to talking to one of the ladies, and it was really loud. The music was really loud at the conference, and so we just put hats on our babies, and I had an extra hat, and so I had a hat for Tanner and a hat for her baby. And at the end of the conference, I went to go back and talk to her and to say bye and, you know, like, get her information. Contact information, and I went, and there was just, like, the hat was, like, laying over a chair or something, and she had left it for me, but she had gone. And all of a sudden, like, something deep inside with me just, like, burst, like, it just, like burst open, and I started bawling, because I've always had such a longing to have intimate relationships, intimate female relationships, and here I felt like we had this connection, and I was just bawling and bawling, and I went up to Jim, and he was asking me what was going on, and all I had was this hat. I was just like holding the hat up, and I was crying, and I could feel what felt like a hand on my back just pushing me down to the floor. And so I got kind of, like, spread out on the floor, and I was crying, and I probably could have turned my head to the side, but because my nose was also snotting really bad, and I didn't want anybody to see, so I just kept it face down on the ground, and I was just crying. And though I was completely filled with the Holy Spirit, I still had my vanity, and I just cried with my face on the ground. But anyway, as I was crying, I felt like Jesus said to me, and I heard this voice, and I knew it was Jesus, and he said, "Dee Dee, I want to be your friend." And so I just cried there for a little bit longer, and the Holy Spirit just, like, was meeting me in that place. And I knew I had an experience with God. there's times when in my life where that intimacy feels really strong, almost as strong as that moment. And I feel this partnership with God. You know, the end of the story is I finally got up and wiped my nose and was able to explain what happened. But it was just so neat. I imagine how connected Jesus must have felt when he had that intimacy with his Father. I know from time to time life gets in the way of that intimacy, you know, that God wants to have. And it's at times when and he has to just kind of bring me back. But it's at times when I'm most pursuing intimacy with him that I most understand what my purpose in life is, because God knows my purposes, and so he's constantly telling me who he is and who I am and what's next, what is next to do with him. It's his Holy Spirit in me that draws me back to him, and I can ask to be filled again and pursue that life-giving life through him as he leads me and invites me to engage with him through worship and prayer and reading my Bible and journaling. Maybe some of you have been longing for that same kind of intimacy with God. This morning, when we ask for God to come and fill us again, or maybe for the first time with his Holy Spirit, you can ask God to intimately come into your life and connect you with himself and the Father. You are not alone. Jesus is right here. The Holy Spirit's here. He will never leave you or forsake you. And he has a purpose for your life, in that he wants to lead you in that purpose. Next, joy. Jesus was filled with joy. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And he had all of those things. But as I was listening to another pastor preach about Jesus' life in the Spirit, this stood out to me. He pointed out that I never really thought of it before, but how joyful Jesus must have been. He said that Jesus was notedly joyful. And we know this because in Hebrews 1:9, it talks about Jesus, and it says, "You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." Can you just imagine just how good that would feel? And it says in Luke 10:21, "At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, 'I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children.' Yes, Father, this is what you are pleased to do." And we just see Jesus relating to his Father and relating to others as a joyful person. Like, because I'm so intense and people tend to project their own personalities onto God, I always think of Jesus like as really intense, and he's out there looking for the devil's work, and he's just going to smash them all, because I like to do that. But Jesus was probably, you know, it's intense at times, but he was probably a little bit more low-key. Maybe he could even go with the flow. He wasn't a control freak. You know, he could just really, like, rely on his Father, and he could have peace and joy, and like, there wasn't anxiety stripping that away, or, you know, chaos and disorder stripping that away. He always knew his Father, and so he always knew his and had his Father's joy available to him. The other thing that I think is so neat about that is that we see that the same word for the oil of gladness is used when it talks about God replacing our grief with the oil of gladness. And so sometimes we can see that when we have that same kind of joy that Jesus has, it's because he has ministered, that as the Holy Spirit comes to us, he also ministers to our grief. And so the Holy Spirit is given to us for healing and healing of our hearts. And then as healing comes into our hearts, it can be an outflow of joy. Spirit-filled Christians can experience joy that is marked by contentment and happiness and gratitude. I believe that the work of the Spirit in us is something that that is something available that he wants to give us more joy for our life. And I like this because sometimes there's times when I struggle with depression and anxiety. And so I have to continue to ask him. And I can now say, but God, you made Jesus joyful. And I can say, God, come, let your spirit minister, heal my heart, and let joy be an outflow of that. Sometimes I have to journal and pray and wait on God. It doesn't always just come automatically, but I know it's available, and I know it's available to draw others in as well. God wants to give us joy and make us joyful because he wants to bring others into his joy. And finally, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus' clash with the kingdom of darkness was by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God empowered Jesus to do God's will on earth, which is the territory of Satan. So it's not surprising that these power clashes would occur. In Mark 1:24, we hear the demons' responses to Jesus as he goes in and he's preaching. All of a sudden, the demons are saying, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, O Holy One of God." They're like, "What are you doing? Why are you here? We thought we were clear to be here." And Jesus is saying, "Not anymore." As the Holy Spirit led Jesus in his ministry, he also provided the power to expel the evil powers. Some of you are called to the same kind of ministry, the power to tell evil to get back, to back off, and to ask for more of God's presence and will in situations. Matthew 12:28 says, "But if it is by the Spirit of God that I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." People came from all around, and they brought those who were sick and demonized to Jesus to be healed and delivered. And it's the power of the Holy Spirit is what healed people. And Jesus healed in Mark 1:34, it says, "And Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, and he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was." As we ask for more of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we can expect God's power to increase in our lives and to experience opportunities where we will be able to join God in defeating the work of Satan and establishing his will for good in the world around us. And it isn't just power that comes on its own. Because we are connecting to God, we're connecting to God's love. It is God's love that empowers the flow of the Spirit out of his heart. That love out of God's heart comes to us because God loves his children. We experience that love and the same compassion that Jesus had as he looked around at the havoc that Satan had caused in this world. Jesus gives us the ability to experience God's own heart. We can experience his justice then, and his power flows to push back the powers of evil that have caused harm to God's beloved. This church is a place of training on how to flow in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit so that you can partner with God in destroying the works of the devil and see his kingdom advance in our midst. You see this happening on Sunday mornings when we have a call for prayer. Our ministry team are people who have been trained to pray in this way. But even we would love to train more people how to pray. But even if you don't want to pray on the ministry team, if you're interested, talk to me. I can train you, or Jim, we can train you one-on-one. We can set you up with people who can mentor you. We can schedule class if there's enough people who are interested at the same time. We want to train people how to move and walk in this power. We also want you to have faith to pray and intercede for your friends and family members. There's lots of way that prayer happens and is led by the Holy Spirit to see God's kingdom come. And this, we said, was the training ground. It's the training ground for the rest of your days. It's the training ground for the rest of your week. Because we know that God, the devil is active in the lives of your friends and the people at school and in your workplace. He's caused havoc everywhere. And so as you can connect with the Holy Spirit, he can empower you to bring God's will. God can empower you to bring his will into those situations and say no to whatever the enemy's plans have been. How many of you would like to see more of God move in power in your home or school or workplace? God wants to lead you in these places because he loves all the people that are there. The enemy is at work in all those places, but as you walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, not only will you see the clash of the two kingdoms, but you will see God's kingdom expand in areas where you have allowed the Holy Spirit to lead you in confronting the powers of evil and in destroying the work of Satan. I love praying for people. I've prayed on the ministry team for over 20 years now. And I used to say it's like the most exciting place to be on Sunday mornings because there's always that clash of power. And sometimes we see it. I mean, sometimes we see like amazing things happen and people are healed. And there's like, you know, I've seen people fall. I've seen people shake. I've seen different things. But even when we don't see like that, that doesn't mean nothing's happening. Because something is always happening. God is, when we say Jesus come, when we say God move, he is always doing something. And so when, even if we don't know anything else that has happened, we have been a witness to God coming and God moving and God loving. We're going to ask for the Holy Spirit to come every Sunday during this message series. But this morning, I want to pray for the Spirit to come in the three areas I just mentioned that were so evident in Jesus' life. Intimacy with the Father, the just tremendous joy, and the power for ministry. I don't have a list of the next steps today, but anyone who would like to respond, I'd like to invite to stand. If you can stand. If you can't, then just sit. And if you'd like to receive the filling of the Holy Spirit for these things this morning, I'm going to have you put your hands out in a posture and just be receiving for a little bit while we pray. So right now, if anybody would like to just join in asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to come, I'm going to ask you to stand. And just put your hands in a posture of receiving. And I'll pray. Come, Holy Spirit. We just invite you. We're just going to wait. We're just going to quietly wait and just let the Holy Spirit flow over us for a minute. Lord, we invite that intimacy. Renew our love for you and reveal your love for us. Fill us with joy and empower us, Lord. Now, as I was praying about this and just asking God what he wanted to do, I felt like one of the things he wanted to be stirring in people's heart was just like a healing joy. So like almost replacing and meeting a deep need for joy. So some of you might be experiencing that this morning. I had a sense that he was putting heat in some people's hands. That's always a good sign of healing anointing, maybe to pray for you or maybe to pray for others. Some of you might be experiencing a vibrating somewhere in your body. Again, that's just power coming and letting you know that he wants to be powerful. He wants you to make you powerful as in partnership with him. Some of you are beginning to experience a hunger for more of God and just like a sense of like you just can't wait to be alone with God and experience more of his love. And there might be waves of love that you're feeling. Some of you might not be feeling anything at all. That's totally fine. That would be me. I never feel anything whenever everybody else is. That doesn't mean that God isn't there. God's in our midst and he's ministering. And it's just sometimes how our body responds to the Holy Spirit. But he's here.